Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of our weekly podcast. I am your host, Errol Sutherland, and we are going to be reading the top five stories of the week chosen by you, our fans and readers of Eagle Feather News. These stories are chosen by the most views we had on our website and the most engagement we had on social media. We're talking about likes, shares, comments. We also have a new LinkedIn page that we'd like you guys to connect with us. Here's number five and your top five stories of the week. Donna Morasty, proud of Lieutenant Governor husband Russ Morasty, by Janelle Mendez of Eagle Feather News. Her Honor Donna Morasty is a woman of poise, who is modest, family-oriented, and is wholly supportive of her husband Russ Morasty, who is Saskatchewan's 23rd Lieutenant Governor. Donna was born and raised in Cumberland House in northern Saskatchewan. Her first language is Swampy Cree, which is the N dialect. Her parents were Agnes and Pierre Carrier, and she grew up with five brothers and two sisters. My parents had a traditional lifestyle of hunting, fishing, and trapping, she said. I was raised on duck, moose, and all that. After completing high school, Morasty went to Saskatoon to obtain an education in Certified Nursing Assistant Program, which is now called a Licensed Practical Nursing Program. 40-some years ago, she met his honor during his first job at Lac des Ronginian Band. They got married in May of 1978, where they devoted their unconditional love for one another. Morasty supported and followed her husband as the locations in his RCMP career changed a lot. With her education and training, she would manage to land a job as an LPN. My main focus when we got married, that this is my life, so my focus was on both of us. When we had our children, I also focused on the kids. I always made sure my family was okay, she said. The Morastys have two grown children, Jennifer and Matthew, and two grandchildren. The Morastys were firm believers in education and strongly encouraged their children to obtain a higher education. Jennifer is a registered nurse, and Matthew went into policing and is now working for the provincial government in justice. It will mark 1 year in July that her husband took on the role of Saskatchewan's first Indigenous Lieutenant Governor. Morasty recalls the thoughts and feelings she had when she first found out about the news. I thought, wow, it's going to be a really interesting adventure, she said. I was looking forward to it. An installment ceremony for his honor took place on September 12, 2019 in Regina. It was a monumental moment in history, one that the Morastys will cherish forever. We were all so proud. I was so grateful that my family and Russ's family were there, she said. My mother's beadwork was worn, my grandson wore a hair wraparound, and my nephew wore a beaded jacket. Little pieces of home were there, and it was so nice and a proud moment. Morasty wishes to share some advice with other women out there in honor of International Women's Day. My mom and dad told me to be proud of who I was and where I came from. Try your best at whatever job you're going to have. Here's number four in our top five stories of the week. Cunhan wins GG Award in Visual and Media Arts by NC Rain for Eagle Feather News. Pioneers of a particular field often fail to be properly appraised during their careers. It's not until time has passed that we begin to understand the influence of their work. Such might be the case for multidisciplinary Saskatchewan-based artist Ruth Cunhan. Earlier this year, at the Zygmuntian Beading Symposium in Winnipeg, Cunhan was referred to as the matriarch of contemporary Indigenous beading for her innovative artwork using beads. In her series, Trading, Cunhan has beaded 12 visual representations of viruses the European settlers brought to North America. The artworks are a visual reference to colonization and represent how settlers and trade impacted Indigenous life. I wanted to politicize the beads. I wanted to make them more than just a craft item, to move them from crafts to fine arts and present them in a more contemporary way, Cunhan told Eagle Feather News. I started thinking, when the bead arrived as a trade good, how beading and women's art just exploded, because they now had this material that was faster than quilt work and they could express themselves more. I started thinking of trade, then the downside of trade, part of which was disease. Cunhan said she was immediately drawn to the abstract beauty of microscopic images of these new world diseases. Once she started, she quickly piqued the attention of curators and galleries around the country. Her beadwork has been exhibited across Canada, including showings in Montreal, Toronto, and Saskatoon, and artist's residency at the University of Saskatchewan. When I started doing it, I questioned how beautiful it was, because if you bead a disease, it's gorgeous, but it's still a disease. There's a push-pull to it. Cunhan has a long career of infusing her artwork with complex themes and challenging mainstream perspectives on colonialism and racism. Art allows me to make work about what's on my mind. It's a way of communicating with other people without hammering them over the head. An idea will go around and around in my head. Once in a while, it will come forward, and I'll think on a basic level of what I want to do about it and how I can best express it. In addition to beading, Cudhand's art includes installations, paintings, drawings, prints, and multimedia artworks. This past February, Cudhand was awarded the prestigious Governor General's Award in Visual and Media Arts, which recognizes outstanding contribution to the arts in Canada. It was the first time she was nominated for the award, and as such, the honor was quite a surprise.
I was told you usually don't get picked on the first try, so when we got the news, I was jumping up and down with my daughter,
she said. Cudhand said her next venture is yet to be determined, but whatever it may be, her work will continue to push boundaries.
The creative part inside me asks, how are we going to do this without doing what people have done before? What's new about this and what can I bring to it? Those are the questions I'm asking for myself.
Here is number 3 in our top 5 stories of the week. University cancellations cancel the mid-coronavirus concerns by Janelle Mendez of Eagle Feather News. The spread of the coronavirus has forced many educational institutions to temporarily close. But many students didn't think it would impact an important milestone in their life, convocation. Alicia Monroe, a Niheo Anishinaabe woman from Beardies and Okemosis First Nation, was looking forward to that moment of crossing that big stage to receive her degree.
I was looking forward to having my daughters watch me walk across the stage and them having that memory forever, like I do, of my mother when she received her education degree.
Monroe is a fourth-year Indigenous Social Work and Reconciliation Studies student at First Nations University of Canada and is also president of the First Nations University Saskatoon Campus Student Association. When Monroe found out about spring convocation cancellation, she was disappointed.
I definitely felt disappointed. However, I knew it was coming and I understand due to the circumstances right now. I am hoping that our convocation will be postponed instead of being canceled. I feel us students still deserve to be acknowledged and celebrated.
This was her and her two daughters' year for graduation, as her children were to graduate pre-kindergarten and kindergarten. Given the circumstances surrounding COVID-19, it was something they'd come to accept.
It was supposed to be a special time in June. However, we will have our own celebration together, and that will be just enough, she added.
Monroe is definitely not the only student who's feeling the loss. Robin Badger, who is studying Indigenous social work at First Nations University in Regina, also felt the sadness after she found out about the news.
I cried because it was such a big accomplishment for my kids and for myself. It was something I worked hard for, but then again, safety comes first. I was also feeling sad that my son, who is completing his grade 12, I mostly felt sad for him that he had to finish early.
The University of Regina announced the cancellation in a statement on social media on March 24th. Students can be assured that all U of R credentials will continue to be awarded when earned, and this change in plans does not in any way affect the timing and awarding of degrees, diplomas, and certificates, it said in the Facebook post. Kayla Ironstein-Murray from Meadow Lake will finish a Bachelor of Indigenous Social Work and Certificate in Reconciliation Studies in April. She said the cancellations didn't come as a surprise to her.
I was hoping they would be canceled due to the pandemic.
Ultimately, the university wants to keep the students and their families safe. I'm sure they have plans of a convocation in the future. For the student and mother of three, the journey wasn't easy, but through blood, sweat, and tears, she did it.
I definitely felt the need to plan around their sleeping and napping schedules. During my pregnancy was a time I felt most crucial because you're carrying a life inside you and bettering yourself in education while caring for your family. I look to ceremony, my partner, and my children for added support, and I'm happy to be nearly done in April.
Ironstar Murray's daughter wanted to do something to honor her mother's achievement. It's a gesture that warmed her heart.
My oldest daughter, Faith, mentioned we should create our own convocation ceremony with paper hats and a paper scroll, she said. I said to her, that could be something we can do.
Ironstar Murray hopes people realize the importance of staying home during a time of sickness. Remember the water ceremonies, medicine teas, smudges, and family, she said. There's always a time for celebration, but your health and the health of your family comes first. The University of Saskatchewan has postponed spring convocation. Details are still to be determined. We now take you to number 2 in our top 5 stories of the week. Roadblocks, the new norm in First Nation communities by Janelle Mendez of Eagle Feather News. Many Indigenous communities are preparing and taking necessary precautions to protect their people from COVID-19. Pelican Lake First Nation, Cumberland House First Nation, Big River First Nation, Pasqua, and Carry the Kettle, among many others, have set up roadblocks in each entrance of their communities to heavily monitor who is leaving and entering the reserve. This initiative is to help promote their band members to stay home and practice social distancing. Chief Brady Owatch of Carry the Kettle said if he could contain and protect his nation, he will. And that's what he's currently doing. He said the community entrances have a 24/7 patrolled security to prevent the virus from entering.
We are tracking who is leaving, why are they leaving, the purpose of it, and making people aware of what's going on out there. It wasn't something done overnight. I went out and talked to the elders and the membership. I noticed some of the other First Nations doing the same, so I felt it was necessary for me to contain and protect my nation.
Owatch said their community convenience store is always stocked up with food and supplies to prevent members from leaving the reserve to buy items needed in nearby towns or cities.
We're allowing members to leave in twos. We're telling people to avoid traveling at all costs. That's why we have a store in our First Nation. We try to keep our store stocked at a price that is cheaper than grocery stores. There will be a designated person from each family who will leave the community to get medical and pharmacy supplies.
Owatch added the transmission of COVID-19 is slowly escalating. He'll possibly be closing the borders to anyone within the next week or so. A curfew of 8 p.m. for all band members will be implemented to ensure that no one is driving around and to keep everyone at home. He will be introducing the color coding system, a system that has been adopted by many indigenous communities, including Cowessess.
We have implemented a color card system. We have 237 homes on reserve, and we deliver to each home a package of cleaning supplies, the color card system, information on cleanliness, on hygiene, and self-isolation. These color card systems must be hanged on the doors or visible to the peacekeeper, who are constantly driving around and making sure that people are safe. White is for I'm okay. Orange means I have a utility problem. Blue means I need water. Yellow means I require food. Red means there's a person in the home that is sick. Purple means single parent with children. I need help. And green means death.
Cowessess First Nation has stored food away for their band members who require some when their personal supplies are dwindling. This measure is to help prevent the band membership from leaving the reserve during this time of crisis. Cowessess First Nation is working well with the provincial and federal government, FSIN, and local surrounding areas. Everyone seems to be united. We're all on this together, and we're all going to recover together. Right now, the unity is really strong. We now bring you to number one and our top five stories of the week. Innovative Cree teacher finds ways to keep language alive, by Betty Ann Adam of Eagle Feather News. When Belinda Daniels wanted to learn in a Cree language immersion program, there weren't any. So she hired teachers and created a Cree camp where she could be a student. The Sturgeon Lake First Nation teacher was serious about learning language. She had taken a couple of university classes during her education degree program, was taking Cree night classes while working on her master's degree, and practicing speaking with her grandmother, but the learning wasn't coming fast enough.
It came out of frustration, she said. One day I thought, why not create a Cree camp with Cree teachers in a Cree context? It seemed so simple, but yet it wasn't being done anywhere.
It was 2003 when she spoke to two language teachers.
I said, let's do a Cree camp. You guys speak Cree and teach Cree, and we'll all camp and I'll pay you. Like literally, out from my pocket. I received $500 from the Saskatchewan Cree Language Retention Committee. There was basically no money, and there wasn't any money for a long time, she said.
Daniels hired the teachers, who went with her and four other students to camp at her home First Nation. 16 years later, Daniels runs 2 one-week-long camps each summer. She accepts 30 students per camp and has to turn people away. She also has many workshop language experiences throughout the year.
The language camp for me is raising the consciousness of the value of language. Having the people to choose to be Cree speakers is another huge success for me, she said. It takes at least 1,000 hours of immersion to become mid-proficient.
The camps are just one of the reasons Daniels has won a host of teaching awards, including from the Canadian Teachers Federation, the FSIN, a University Award for Research, and the Saskatchewan Heritage Award. In 2006, she was nominated for a Global Teacher Award and was invited to Dubai, where she met innovative teachers from around the world. Daniels' passion for teaching a language has always been with her.
Language chose me, she said. I have had really vivid dreams, dreams that send messages.
She was 10 or 11 when she had a dream in which she saw ancient rock petroglyphs of Cree words written in syllabics.
When you come from a Nehehu realm of thinking and being, it unfolds where the language spirit chooses me, as opposed to me choosing that language was going to be my thing.
Daniel said she was blessed to be raised by her grandparents and grew up hearing them speak Cree to each other. She heard the intonation and rhythm of the language. She understood when one word ends and another begins. when someone is asking a question or making a statement. She doesn't consider herself fluent or even fully proficient, but says she can speak everyday conversational Cree.
The language is vast, like an ocean and deep. If you're not raised in the language, fluency is very hard to gain. It can be done, it is hard, but not impossible.
Her understanding of how the language works has led her to invent another tool for teaching Cree.
I really consider myself a language coach. I really, again, created this where you have the teachers, but then you have someone in the middle, and then you have the learners. I'm that person in the middle that knows how to scaffold the language, knows how the language works for the learners. Fluent speakers will overlook various aspects of the language, and learners kind of get stuck in many plateaus where you're wondering, what do I learn next, or what should I be saying next? So I guess I'm a language conduit, a language coach, she said. The Nehewak understand that people are part of nature and equal to, not better than, other living things. That reverence for all nature is reflected in the language and the way things are taught. There is ceremony attached to everything because there is a deep awareness of the sacredness of everything, she said.
For that reason, Daniels believes that the way indigenous languages are taught needs to change. Respect and protocol need to be attached to learning and teaching languages. She has also learned that sacrifice is an important value. For her, that means devoting time and energy to her pursuit of the language and traveling at least once a month to Sturgeon Lake.
This is where I learned so much. It wasn't at a university. I learned how to work the academy to get where I need to be, but the more educated I become, the more I wanted to go home to my roots. There is strength there, she said. My home community is where I belong, where I am most needed, and where I am most loved.
I want to thank everybody for joining us for our Top 5 Stories of the Week. This is Errol Sutherland, your host for Eagle Feather News Online. I'd also like to remind you guys that we do have a LinkedIn page. Go to LinkedIn and look for Eagle Feather News. We'd love to connect with you guys. Also, if you'd like to advertise with Eagle Feather News, we do have advertising opportunities available on our website and our newspaper. Go to our website, go to our contact us page. Have yourself a great weekend.